It's late May and time for our herb of the month, and who else but Denise Dunn from theherbgarden.ie to fill us in on the merits and everything you can do with basil. Denise, thank you very much for inviting me to your lovely abode here yet again. Basil, it's almost tomato time. They go hand in glove. Will you begin, Denise, by talking to us about the origins of basil?
Okay, Gerry. Basil originated in India and the Middle East, and it has been cultivated in the Mediterranean for thousands of years. Now, the word basil, apparently, it originates from an ancient Greek word meaning kingly, and basil is sometimes known as the king of herbs. Now, it has been found in the tombs of the ancient Egyptians, where it was presumably used as an embalming herb. And also it reputedly was found to be growing outside the tomb of Christ after the resurrection. So there are all these kind of sacred and kingly connections. In Elizabethan times, apparently it was used as a snuff against colds.
Interesting history, but modern history, it's now part and parcel of our culinary uses here in Ireland. But before we go on to that, let's talk about the varieties of basil. There are many, but is it just one or two that are grown here in Ireland?
No, Gerry. Now, obviously, the one that is most common here is the sweet green basil or Genovese. That is the one that you'll see in the supermarkets and the garden centres. Now, there are, would you believe, over 150 varieties of basil. And over the years, I have drooled over plenty of catalogues. Now, I've probably tried maybe about 10 of the varieties myself. A few particular ones that I like to grow, there's dark opal basil. So that has a similar taste to the sweet green, and it has beautiful glossy purple leaves. So it's visually, it's really attractive. It's lovely, particularly with pasta dishes that aren't tomato sauce based, because you've got the contrast between the white and the purple. I did a bit of work with Donald Skeehan, the chef there, a couple of years ago, and one of his recipes was a roast beetroot, and we used the purple basil as a garnish. So again, colour wise, you know, it just really worked well. Another one that I like to grow is called cinnamon basil, and it actually has this spicy, slightly cinnamon tinge to it. Two other citrusy ones that I've tried are lemon basil and sweet lime basil. And again, you know, they're nearly a little bit like the scented pelargoniums that we smelled before, that they have so many different scent, you know, even though it's the one plant. Thai basil, of course, is really nice. Traditionally, that's used in at the end of your Thai green curry. And I don't know if I've really come across it in many recipes here, but you know, my sister Celine, she got her recipe from the family in Thailand. And even if you don't have Thai basil, actually sweet green basil, if you just tear up a few leaves in at the end of your Thai green curry, it just gives it, really makes that extra difference. Another one is bush basil, which is actually much easier to grow than sweet green, I have found. Has very tiny little leaves, but quite a similar flavour as well. So I think most of those varieties I do actually have seed for sale on my website.
God, you're fantastic to hear that there are so many varieties and that you've experienced so many of them as well. But we have the common Genovese sitting here beside us on the table, which we'll get onto in a moment. Now, let's not put a tooth in this. This herb is not easy to cultivate.
No, it definitely isn't. Over all my years of growing herbs, and particularly all the garden shows and talks that I've done, I can literally say I've been asked thousands of times, people saying to me, how do I grow basil? I just can't grow basil. It's not easy to grow. As I've said, originating in India, the Middle East, and thriving in the Mediterranean, but that's a far cry from our climate here. So it really is. You know, normally, Gerry, I always recommend growing your herbs outdoors, but basil is the one that I recommend you need to keep indoors. Preferably, if you've got a little greenhouse, a porch, a conservatory, a sunny window even would be ideal. I just have my outdoor unheated tunnels here, as you know, Gerry. And I mean, some years over the last few years when the summer has been really bad, the poor basil, even though it was in the polytunnel, didn't like it at all. When you're growing it indoors, you can find that green fly can become a little bit of a problem. So it does need some ventilation as well. So ideally, if you have it near a window that can be opened, if the weather is really good, you could actually put it outside in the sun. But if it's chilly at all at night or raining or windy, you need to take it back in again.
Let's talk about the beginning. If you were to sow from seed, is it difficult to germinate, take to a size like the size you see in the pots in the supermarket?
No, Jerry. I found if you grow it from seed, it's kind of gradually acclimatising to our conditions, as opposed to the ones that you're getting in the supermarket. They have been raised with artificial heat and more than likely artificial light, particularly when you're getting them in wintertime. They would just literally wouldn't be able to grow without artificial heat and light. To sow from seed, basil, it needs in and around kind of 15 to 20 degrees to germinate. I don't sow it too early because, again, I don't have artificial heat. So I would usually wait until mid-April to sow it, and then you can sow it right up until the end of May, early June. So start it off in, as usual, in your plug trays or modules. I like to use a good organic compost. Just water the compost, allow it to drain, and sow the seeds sparingly on top. If you're using modules, you could use maybe 3 or 4 seeds per cell. Cover it with either a fine layer of compost or vermiculite, and then you just need to keep an eye on it. After, you know, 5 or 6 days, start having a look at it, and generally within 10 days it should have germinated. When the plants have 2 of their true leaves, then they're ready for potting on. So I would normally pot them on into maybe an 8 centimetre pot, and when you see that the roots are coming out of the bottom of that pot, it needs to be potted on again. And ideally you could probably pot it on at least another once, so say from the 8 centimetre pot maybe into a 1 litre, and then maybe 4 weeks later even into a 2 litre, because, you know, as it grows the roots are going to be using up the nutrient. So you give it a bigger pot, you give it a little bit of extra fresh compost, and that'll kind of help to feed it.
Now, if you go for the pots in the supermarkets, and we have one beside us here today, it looks absolutely magnificent. It's in tip-top condition. What do you do with that when you bring it home? Can you leave it in that pot and just pick from that, or is it a good idea to split that up into a number of pots to increase your stock?
Okay, Jerry, well, first of all, if you bring it home and leave it in this pot, you're not going to have much luck at all. If you see, there's probably at least 20 plants in there, all squashed in together, tiny little pot, no more nutrients for this to feed this plant. These plants really are grown to be an impulse buy, to be honest, because obviously you have it on your windowsill, you'll get a few uses out of it, and then you're going to have to go and buy another one. To make it much better value, you can divide it and split it up. But to be honest with you, these are quite tall. I suppose this plant we have here, they're what, about 8-10 inches tall? And they're a little bit tall to divide. Now, you might get away with dividing them into 2 or 3. You'll probably lose some of the outer plants that have been disturbed. But another alternative with this, if you just potted this clump as it is straight away into a much bigger pot, like say maybe a 3-litre pot, it's going to have a much better chance of surviving. Another really important thing with basil, well, kind of 2 important things. First of all, it hates to be overwatered. So ideally, you water it in the morning so that the compost has dried out by evening time. And you can, best way to judge is by feeling the weight of the pot, because even though the surface of the compost might look dry, it can still be quite wet underneath. Now, if you have it on a sunny windowsill, if it's sunny weather, you're probably going to have to give it a drop of water every day. But if it's dull, you might need to water it for 3 or 4 days. So that's the one thing. Don't overwater it.
The question about the watering, top down or bottom up?
You know, to be honest, I'm a bit maybe lazy when it comes to it, but I generally top it up. I just generally water it from the top. My kitchen windowsill is kind of behind the sink. It's a little bit awkward to get at, and it's much easier for me to water it that way. And personally, now I know other people might disagree, but I think if you're watering basil from the bottom, it's going to maybe take up too much water, you know, so it thrives less water rather than more, is in my experience. The second point, really important when you are harvesting it, that you pick a growing tip. I know on some of these packets you get in the supermarket, and I have actually seen it saying pick leaves as needed. Now, if you just pick off those leaves, what's going to happen is the plant is going to continue growing, and it's going to go into flower and try and produce seed, because its whole aim is to reproduce. So you're going to get are the leaves that are on it. You're going to get very little more growth. Whereas if you pick a growing tip, so see here we've got where the stem is coming up, there are 2 leaves and 2 new little growing shoots there, and then we've got the growing tip with four nice sized leaves on it. So you would just pinch it out there, Jerry. Do you know, I have a whole blog on my website about growing basil, and the reason I mentioned it is I actually have a photo which makes it very clear. There's a lot of photos, so all of this information on growing is on there. But so what happens when you pick that? Like, oh, I'm going to put that into something nice tonight now.
The smell of it. I can tell you, I just say summer has arrived on late lunch.
But so now you can see these two little growing tips. These are going to grow and they're going to produce two more shoots like this lovely one that I've picked off. So that's another really important tip to prolong the life of your plant.
Now let's move on to preserving or storing if you have to. This herb doesn't dry out well.
No, I would never dry basil. Now, I suppose one of the best ways of preserving it is pesto. And of course, classic basil pesto, which is absolutely lovely, goes with so many dishes. Obviously, the pasta is the common one, but there'd be lots of other things that I would use it with, onto baked potatoes, lovely on pizzas, also marinade as well. A marinade for chicken in particular is really nice. Now, another good way to preserve it, you can make a herb oil. So very simple, just a virgin olive oil and infuse it with the basil leaves. Crush them a little bit first to release the scent. Maybe you could leave the leaves in it for about 10 days to 2 weeks, and then you would need to strain it off because otherwise the leaves can actually become quite slimy and it's not very nice, and you would need to use that up within maybe about 4 weeks. And freezing would be obviously the handiest way if you've got lots of basil growing and it's all at its best and you've no time to use it. Wash it into bags or airtight containers in the freezer. Now, obviously, when the basil is frozen, you're not going to be using it as you would with fresh basil into salads and things like that. But into cooked dishes, it's going to be fine.
Before we finish up, a couple more suggestions on basil for the kitchen.
Okay, well, obviously, it's the classic accompaniment to tomatoes. I mean, you can't really beat, especially when you've your homegrown tomatoes, little tearing of basil leaf, maybe a little sprinkling of sea salt, nothing like it. One thing actually with basil, it is always recommended that you tear it rather than use a knife to cut it. And I think this is just to kind of releases the lovely oils maybe in a better way than if you've got this straight kind of knife cut. Sprinkle it on top of pizzas as well. Any pizza is going to be enhanced by a sprinkling of basil leaves. Scrambled eggs or egg mayonnaise, really nice with basil, and likewise with mashed potatoes and potato salads. And I know, again, with nearly all the soft leaves herbs, I'm always talking about the scrambled eggs and the mashed potatoes, but particularly for people who aren't that familiar with cooking with herbs, I just find it's really a great way because they're just simple things that everybody practically makes. Throw in your herb, and when you get the different tastes and flavours, you know, you just begin to see how herbs can really enhance your food. And of course, you are also getting the medicinal and the nutritional benefits of the herb by eating it. So medicinally, basil is a good aid to digestion. It has been used as an expectorant over the years too. I don't think it's used too much in kind of modern herbalism as such. Nutrition-wise, it's rich in vitamin A and C and also iron and calcium. So again, with all of the herbs, the way I always think the best way to get the best use out of them is add them into your food. Household uses. Basil is supposed to repel flies, so you grow a few plants on your windowsill. It's also supposedly repels insects and mosquitoes, that you just crush the leaves and rub it on your skin. Again, I can't vouch for that. That's just hearsay that I've come across in some of my books.
Denise, it's been a pleasure being here with you today in your tunnels and talking about basil. May I just indulge myself and have another?
Absolutely. Well, I grab a
my
we can
God.
Have a little
stack. Yes, why not? Absolutely beautiful. And it is the smell and taste of summer. Just remind us again, more information available where?
My website, theherbgarden.ie. And I have a number of talks and workshops coming up, and if people are interested, they can go onto my website and subscribe to my mailing list, and then I can give them information and about events that might interest them.
Denise, thank you so much for your herb of the month, which is basil for the month of May.